Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology, speaking with you over Blog Talk Radio. And we are three astrologers. We get together and chat about what we see going on in the sky, way up there, and as far up there as it is, that's how deep it is within our lives. And we look for it there too. So we just look for whatever energies are moving around. And my name is Mark Wolves. I'm speaking with you from New York City. Also from New York City is...
Ann Ortley, and I'm here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side with the air conditioner running because it's hot in New York. Woo!
Yes,
and hopefully Heather will be joining us from the banks of the Mississippi, far, far
Heather
away.
Heather Roan Robbins.
Huh?
Heather Roan Robbins.
Yeah.
She will. She's normally with us, and we hope she'll chime in shortly.
We'll hear the Aunt Clara bell ring.
Yeah.
As she comes in. Yeah, I know, it's good. And a lot of stuff going on in the world these days, eh, Mark?
Yeah. Pretty bright stuff. One of the big things, of course, this coming week, we will have the solstice.
Yes.
So you notice the days have been getting longer.
Mm-hmm. A minute a day.
And another day. And finally, it will be as long as it gets. Then it sort of stands still for a couple of days, and then it starts getting shorter days. Doesn't feel like it because it's still warm, but we will gradually have a diminishing of the light.
Here comes Heather.
And this is Heather Roan Robbins speaking to you from the very soggy Minnesota.
Is it raining out by you?
Raining.
Yeah.
It's been raining. We had tornadoes south of here. It's been amazing storms. It's been really waterlogged. It's so lush this year, but it's waterlogged.
Yeah.
So the stormy aspects really were impressive here on the plains. That Mars square Pluto opposed Uranus has that set off two matching EF4 tornadoes that worked together through Nebraska.
I saw that. It was like a double thing, and I thought that's the Mars and Libra, you know, kind of going, okay.
Square Pluto,
opposed
Uranus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, it was big. So,
and
are you you're okay? You didn't have hurricanes
elevators
by you.
All that was the pile of grain.
Pardon?
I said all that was left of the grain elevators was a pile of grain.
Wow.
So, you know, and they expect this to increase as climate change kicks in.
Right.
Yeah,
they've reframed it climate change because sometimes it's getting colder. But I think it's definitely something's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Definitely. We were just talking about the solstice coming on the end of the week. So how do you see it?
And solstices are usually such lovely times. They're, you know, the peak of a season where we really let the sunlight come in and can really celebrate one another. This solstice is a little tricky, isn't it? And I'm just worried with that Mars-Uranus opposition. The sun has had three major X-class solar flares this week. And as the sun turns up the volume and pours its energy into all the other aspects, having Mars move into an exact opposition with Uranus just as the solstice hits, you know, we can turn up our laziness. We can turn up our relaxation, hopefully. I'm hearing from some clients that their anxiety level has been turning up.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that certainly in some of the headlines around the military hotspots. Anytime you've got Mars doing major dances, you can keep an eye on the military. I'm hoping that most of us use it, and I'm heading off to see my daughter and grandkids, not what I usually like to do. I almost always have to travel with Mercury retrograde. It's pretty funny. But it's, so how do we sit in the peace of it, in Mars and Libra's peaceful nature, and that sun entering Cancer coming back to nurture our hearts and nurture ourselves, even though these aspects are sort of echoing off the walls.
Yeah.
And nurturing one another.
Yeah, it's hard with the Mars playing with the Uranus-Pluto square.
Mm-hmm. How has your temper and your... I have found myself a little unusually twitchy and not in a bad mood, but when the mood shifts or when you stub your toe or something goes wrong, there's a lot of voltage waiting just below the surface.
Right.
Have you, either of you noticed that?
Not me, but I got set free, so I've been dancing a little. I went to the doctor, and he was like, okay, so, you know, blah, 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 and then in good Virgo Mars.
You can move around.
I can move around. I can take
my
boot
wonderful.
Off. I can, you know, walk carefully because I haven't walked for 7 weeks, but now I can start walking and go to rehab. And he's a, you know, I don't know, Heather, if you have found this, but I generally find Virgos, it's a grooming sign, right? You know, it likes to groom.
Yes.
So I was sitting there, and he's talking to me, and he's taking the bandage off, and he's picking my scabs off of my foot. And I was kind of like, I can't believe you're picking the scabs off of my foot. But he was. And I was kind of like, okay, you know, he's got Mercury, Mars, and Virgo. So he's pick, 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 and he's got a Venus and Scorpio. So, and then he goes, you know, you can wash your foot. And I'm like, okay, good. You know, I've been waiting for permission to, you know, to do whatever. And it was very funny because I thought, you know, I mean, my sister, when she started dating her husband, he was kind of like, so your whole family picks, you know, picks? I'm like, well, we have a lot of Virgos, so we all pick each other's, you know, pimples or, you know, you see a nice, juicy,
you
whatever.
I often said that Virgos, it's not that their house is immaculate. It's that they're fascinated by the dirt.
Yes.
So they can tell you exactly what needs to be
fixed
and cleaned and organized.
Right. Yeah.
What needs to be groomed.
What needs to be groomed, because it's not quite right. Yeah, so I was laughing. But, yeah, no, for me it was I was set free, so I've been kind of dancing around the apartment. I did
that's
a little bit
fabulous.
Too much because it was, you know, I was like, okay, I can go, I can be free again, you know, and I was kind of going a little bit too much. You know, my right foot was a little crabby last night,
yeah.
but it was happy. And so today I went, all right, we're going to put the crutch back on and we're going to do it a little slower, Anne, you know, but that's okay. So I haven't noticed it, but certainly my clients have been edgy, you know, a lot of edginess, so. You know,
yeah, there's a lot of edginess around. It's true.
Yeah, and a lot of horn honking. My neighborhood has horn honking big time. So
you're not supposed to.
I know. No
you're
honking
in
my hood. I know. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Different meaning of horny. It's and you noticed Mercury retrograde problems around. I tried to get on to, a client and I both were trying to get on to the free conference call this afternoon to record a reading, and everything that could go wrong, first a computer crash, then the conference call wouldn't let me on. They kept asking the same thing and ignoring my pokes. It was just amusing how much, you know, luckily you can take it as the slapstick and the humor of it. There are some situations that are not so funny, but I have been lucky enough to, so far, all the delays, all the things that could go wrong, all the sewing projects that exploded and had to be redone, and I can see them as Mercury saying, right, slow down, hold still. You're really not supposed to be that busy. This is a time for contemplation. I bet, Anne, one of the joys that you're experiencing with your newly found freedom is going back to places where you've been before and you haven't been able to get to for a few weeks.
Right, right. Well, I went after the doctor's appointment. We went out for breakfast at the diner, and I wheel up. You know, I was in the wheelchair because it's, you know, we're not supposed to really walk yet, or I'm, you know, whatever. I just got dispensation. And so the guy was like, so where have you been? I said, the foot. He goes, get up and walk. Get up and walk. I'm like, yeah, I'm here. I'm here for eggs. I'm here for eggs. My eggs Florentine. So they were great. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was good. So, but it definitely is. I haven't been out. You know, I haven't done grocery shopping, but I've been, because he was like, you know, you haven't walked in 7 weeks, so your legs are very weak, so go slow. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm good. I'm ready to go. But it is, it's not quite right up to stuff. So tomorrow I'll do a little walk around the block, and I scheduled my rehab, and, you know, we're moving along. But I do find with this, it is Mercury retrograde, so there's a lot of energy around, confusion energy, really, for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, redoing, reconnecting people I haven't heard mm-hmm. from in a while or people I haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. I had a client show up today in the middle of a reading, and her reading is tomorrow. I'm like, no, you're not here today. And she read the form, it was a little confusing, and I thought, that's kind of a confusing form, which was sent by my computer. So I thought maybe I should fix that a little. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So she's like, I have it here.
I'm watching what little I've been watching of the World Cup adventures. What a great use of the Uranus, Mars, Pluto, T-square.
Yes.
The whole world is watching this, and it's a rematch. Mercury retrograde, every one of these, and they're very low-scoring matches. I think that's Mercury retrograde, and also that they're very carefully matched groups.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole world watching the gladiators go for it down in Brazil is, a good exercise way of using Mars.
Yeah.
That, exercising that the military. Mars has a real gift. It's not just saber rattling. It's not just the people we don't like in the military. It's our immune system. It's our athleticism. It's our sexuality. It's our enthusiasm. It's our chi. And so it's kind of, it's good to see some positive use of it, not just getting irritable.
Mm-hmm.
But that there is a chance. I mean, walking, my dogs have got, they have just been demanding their walks like I've never seen them. Mark, how are you experiencing these aspects?
Well, the same thing that you've been mentioning. There's a kind of a level of anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's really the Uranus opposite Mars, and there's the vacillation that comes with that.
Mm-hmm. Mars in Libra in particular.
Yeah. To use it well, we have to just have the confidence to follow an intuition
mm-hmm.
and just, go with the flow. And the anxiety comes in when there's that little editing pause, I think I should jump right.
Yeah.
And if you just go ahead and make the jump to the right, you'll be okay.
Uh-huh.
But if you start going, then again, I wonder if I should jump like far mm-hmm. to the right or just a little
mm-hmm.
to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and there, that's when the anxiety builds. So when Uranus is involved, it's a matter of really directly going with it and not trying to analyze it. It's not an analytical moment. It's the analytical thing happens very quickly, and you get the conclusion, and you just do it. And if it's wrong, you find out and adjust after, not before.
Right.
If it's a Saturn, if Saturn's involved, then, you work it all out ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's Uranus, no, you'll find out as you go.
And this return to, a raking up of both sides of everything that ever went wrong in the Iraq and the Iran war this week, when the military intensity, often there is a rebellion when Mars opposed Uranus. Here, listening to how much, when the Sunni party was overcome when Saddam Hussein was thrown out, I didn't realize how completely suppressed it was by the government that we supported.
Yeah.
And that, Mars is a wonderful, it's whenever you suppress something, it becomes shadow, it will explode. And whether it's in our psyche or in a relationship or in a country, whatever doesn't have a healthy voice develops a very strong unhealthy voice.
Right.
And that Mercury retrograde is getting out all these old stories
mm-hmm.
And asking us to review what happened before and revisit the question and wonder if we're going to continue what we're doing. So.
Well, and also
that,
to look
I don't think there's
say,
anything
you know,
settled about it, but
yeah.
I think that there is interesting amount of kind of going back and visiting and all the anxiety around that.
Yeah. Well, I think it also, we don't, you know, it's there's so much about our world we don't really know because we're not trained in it, or we don't learn it in school. And so, you know, the concept of, you know, what we understand to be the truth about things is often very distorted, either in by the, you know, not being educated in it or in whatever. I remember at one point my sister was applying for a job with the FBI, and they asked her, okay, so who's the president of this and who's the president of that and who's the guy in charge of this country and who's the president? And she didn't know any of it, and she's, like, kind of embarrassed. She goes, oh, don't worry, nobody in America knows any of that stuff. You'll learn it. We'll teach you. But it was kind of like, you know, she didn't, you know, because she hadn't been a poli-sci major. She didn't have, hadn't studied any of it. And
she didn't know how much she didn't know.
How much she didn't know. And she was actually kind of embarrassed. And the guy was like, don't worry. You know, you actually knew more than most people because it's just not part of how we're raised, you know, to be political in looking at other cultures and understanding their various
but in America, we assume that if we hire, that we elect government officials that will do that. And recently, Rachel Maddow had quotes from all of our major politicians going in about assumptions they had about Iraq before the Iraq War that were completely wrong.
Right.
Completely wrong about how little they understood the culture when we went into this. And it seemed to be an honest, you know, I'm sure there was some of it was pretending they didn't know something that they did, but there was also a lot of just really had no idea how much they didn't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, and a lot of times I find, you know, it does seem to be part of the structure of colonialism or structure of the oppressor. The smaller political party gets the guns, gets to rule the bigger political party, and or the bigger group, because it was like that in Kenya under the colonial rule. It's been, it was like that through lots of different parts of Africa. And then when the tribes, actually when the power left, the group that was bigger said, okay, now we're in charge, and you guys don't have the guns and the military backing anymore or the support of this other group. Now we're going to have a little problem here. And so we had the riots in India, and we had India and Pakistan after they were emancipated, and we had the all the Hutu and the Rwandans and the Kikuyu and the Maasai. And it's an interesting psychological thing where the oppressing group is the smaller group, but they're given the power because they have the guns. And they then rule not necessarily very nicely either because they're the minority group. So it's an interesting conundrum. And now, of course, you know, it has to be balanced. It's, you know, unless somebody's in there forcing it down your throat, you know, the natural majority rule thing is going to take off. So it's an interesting challenge to say, okay, nation building at the point of a weapon probably doesn't really work, you know.
And, yeah.
And now is the time when we're going to see it with the Uranus-Pluto square.
Yeah, Uranus-Pluto brings that up.
Because they're like, you can't tell me what to do. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's doing it in people, you know. You can't make me. You know, I'm like, okay, you're right, I can't. Do you want to?
And I was looking at the progress chart of America, and we have our progressed moon in Scorpio. It just passed Saturn. Progressed, and the progressed moon in Scorpio is trying the progressed sun in Pisces. But I see that our Mars is at 18 degrees of Libra by progression, the countries. And that means that Uranus is moving now into an opposition with our Mars in Libra, retrograde. And Uranus is coming up to our Chiron in Aries in the eighth house. So the whole military and second to eighth house, so it really is, that describes the military-industrial complex there.
Yeah.
You know, what is our resource, is our enthusiasm and our energy and our, is by progression in those houses. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. It certainly says to me that this is not a short moment. Our progressed Jupiter is at 15 Cancer, catching the flak from all of this. How can we learn to work in the more but it's got the Jupiter return to the progressed Jupiter. How can we learn to work in a more communal, collective group? How do we work with other countries rather than come in as the cowboy and catch all the flack? Mm-hmm. So it'll be whatever it is. We know that it's going to take a while here. This is not a short visit. It's not over. It won't go away. And it's really going to take, I think, a deep countrywide soul searching on what is our role as Mars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, I don't know how well
I don't know how good we are at soul searching.
Yeah,
exactly.
Say, it would be a first.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I think some people are doing
it. It's appropriate. We've always done, yeah, on some level. But
right.
It'd be good
as a culture, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Culture is not one of our strong suits.
Mm-hmm.
It's about winning and being right as opposed to, well, what is the vision and the picture? So, I never really got that whole winning and being right thing, but it's pretty, pretty big in there, you know? So.
And on that note, how is...
We have callers.
Is there anybody on the line?
We have quite a few, and we have two that have raised their hand. So we will go. And if the other part that happens this week besides the solstice is Chiron stations to go retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes backwards, he is also inviting us, going backwards till November, but it also
mm-hmm.
brings up for many people an old abandonment or an old orphan feeling because he's in Pisces. So I will try and say the number correctly today, 207-538. You're on the air. Can we help? Any questions for us?
Hello. My birth date's August 30th, 1961.
August 30, 1961, yep.
Aegean, Aegion, Greece, at 4 a.m.
Okay. And what's your question?
My question is, my mother's will is being probated, and I'd like to know how you see the outcome for me.
Okay.
Is
Aegean
so
in Akiti or
is
in
the second
Ahai?
House of the fourth?
I'm sorry, you both asked me a question at the same time. Is Aegean where?
Go ahead. And what was your question?
My question was, is Aegean in Atiki County?
I think so, yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. My computer shows.
So I have you as a Virgo, Moon, and Taurus with a Leo rising.
Yes.
And that when we think of your mother's will, I would look to the second house of the fourth. Anne and Mark, is that where you would look?
I would look at the eighth house because that's her inheritance.
Her eighth house.
Her eighth house is inheritances, and the mother's estate would be the 11th house for me because I do mother as the fourth house.
Right.
Mark,
and
what do you
do? And so it would be the 8th house of the 4th.
Yeah.
I was also saying the mother's resources, which would be the 5th.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you seeing there? What are you seeing there?
Well, the question about inheritance for her always is
Neptune.
A little problematic anyway because she's got Jupiter joined to Saturn in the 6th
mm-hmm.
house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the 11th house of mother having debts or mother having siblings. And I don't know with Neptune in the 4th, mother was necessarily clear about how her will was set up. Was it set up okay? Huh?
No, it wasn't. No.
It was not.
It was not
okay.
Set.
Yeah, she didn't.
Yeah, so I thought with Neptune in the fourth house
mm-hmm.
And Neptune coming to trine Neptune,
mm-hmm.
it looks like there's some confusion.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And did you take care of her towards the end?
No, I did not. I lived so far from her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It looks like there's still, I would see that there's a lot of confusion still going on around it, and that
yes.
the longer that it takes, the more likely it is to have a good outcome.
Oh, good.
So you need to keep an eye on it, but it's, and keep pushing it through, but it...
It's been a while already.
It's been a while. Good.
They're joint property owned with siblings. That's an issue here.
The issue is she left everything to her friend's daughter.
Okay.
Mhm.
So she left it to someone else, like a younger person.
was that recently changed?
See, that's the thing. There's an issue of it, another will somewhere, and
right.
they're looking at her mental state also.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because it looks like she changed her will towards the end.
Did she? I don't know. I heard there's something fishy going on. Also, mm-hmm. her house is in foreclosure. That has to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some family jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Well, the jewelry's gone. I'm not getting that back.
I figured that.
That looks like it's gone already. That's not coming back. That's portable out. The key is the property.
Okay.
That's the place you want to focus on, the point
okay.
of the property. And her friend's first child or?
Her friend's daughter. There was a son, too. She's my age, the daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, because her friend would be her age, yeah. So
yes.
It's showing, you know, her friend would be her 10th house, your 10th house, and then her daughter would be you, son Pluto, in your
mm-hmm.
second. So part of what you have to do with this is, what we're doing here, people, for those of you who are going, what are they talking about? We're doing derived houses. So the mother is the fourth, and the friend is the seventh house from the mother, which is the tenth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the child of the friend is the fifth house from the tenth, which is the person who's asking the question, whose name I don't know. It is her second house, which is right now having Neptune opposite Pluto. So there's very bad boundaries around this whole thing. And your mother wasn't clear about it, and also looks like she might have been a little demented or depressed when she wrote it.
Yes.
But there's a lack of clarity around the real property issues. So I would certainly, you know, push a little on it. But I don't think you're getting the jewelry.
Did the friend and the friend's daughter help? Were they there? Who was helping her when towards the end?
The daughter was.
Because it looks like your mother was feeling needy and was feeling guilty about feeling needy and was trying to recompense, to feel like she wasn't freeloading by leaving something to someone who was helping her towards the end.
Okay.
So is that what happened with was she feeling dependent? And then
she's not that type of person. My mother never really felt dependent in that sort of way.
But only when she was sick. Only towards the end. I feel like her strength was failing. And this might be good for you to get a little bit of a story about why this happened. It felt like, don't take my word for it, but the story to try on, I would suggest, is to see if there was something happening that made her feel more dependent, and that's something, she's very independent. She didn't like feeling like that. She didn't feel like she owed it. She didn't want to owe anybody anything. So
yes,
why did she not leave the money to her kids, but did leave it to these people? There was some part of her that was feeling guilty that she was feeling needy.
Well, these people have been known to do something like this before. When my grandfather died, they showed up and asked
mm-hmm.
my mother for all the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
Yeah. That's my problem
here. Right.
Who showed up?
I can understand
the people that are getting the will now or somebody else?
Yes. Yes, the same people.
Okay.
Same people. So these are really users.
Well, they're
yes.
people that don't have a problem asking for things that aren't necessarily theirs. But you've got a little bit of a fight if you're going to try and fight it. And Neptune in the eighth, any portable stuff is already gone, and it's stationing opposite your Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your mother's – the portable stuff is gone. If there's real estate or there's property – then you have a chance of it, but that's got to be handled pretty quick because you're right. I think the house is in foreclosure, and it looks like it's gone as of the beginning of July, middle of July, when Jupiter gets to the Venus. You want to kind of act faster on the property than not, you know?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's a possibility, you know, because that's that part you can also get that she was depressed when she changed the will. If you're looking for where the other will is, it does look like it's hidden in the house or it's in a woman. A woman has it. A woman, a young woman, a fire woman. Another, a fire woman lawyer has it.
Okay.
So that would be where I'd say to go.
So our time is up.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. Keep us posted.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
All right.
Okay. Thank you all for listening. We're signing off. Access Astrology. This is Mark Wald in New York City.
Heather Rowan Robbins in Minnesota.
And Ann Ortley in New York City with my foot free.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'm going out for a bagel for breakfast. I'm all excited. Woohoo.
Oh.
A little outing, you know. I try and do these in the morning when I'm fresh. So, yeah, so we wish everybody a great Chiron station in Pisces, no less. Be careful of those feet. And happy solstice. New season upon us. And next week is really lovely. Big romance next week. So this week and last week, the mean stuff is over. So it's like forward we go.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So take care.
We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.